Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We've got a real exciting show for you today, neighbors. So stick around. A little bit later, we'll be hearing from the one, the only Micah Hanks from the Graylian Report. And he's always one of our favorite guests, and he has a lot of fascinating topics he wants to talk about. He even sent me a list, and he said, Gene, could you possibly talk about this? And he starts, by the way, with the mystery booms.
Yeah.
And we've heard stock markets going boom and bust, but this is something else. We'll get into that later. Let's talk about something that's booming.
Yeah.
That's called the Paracast Plus. All right? And we're offering still that special added offer for those who subscribe to 1 year or 5 years, a copy of the ebook version of Chris O'Brien's Stalking the Tricksters. Now, to make it easy for everyone, we're sending it out as a PDF file, which means you can read it on your Mac, PC, on your Android or iOS phone. You know, it's easy. You don't have to worry about a Kindle or anything. I guess it does work in Kindle, too. And here's what the deal is. The Paracast Plus, we offer the ad-free version of the show with higher quality audio. We then give you a second radio show called After the Paracast, which is about 25, 35 minutes of extended interviews where the show isn't enough. We go into After the Paracast, extended interviews with guests such as Nick Redfern a few weeks ago. We also include color commentary, latest news and views, all interesting stuff, all part of the package. And video will come later, by the way. You learn more at plus.theparacast.com, plus.theparacast.com, and we've added a new feature this week to make it easier to see your new files. We have a listing for members of the Paracast Plus of the latest episodes displayed on our forum's homepage. That's something new this week, so check it out, plus.theparacast.com. Now, in last week's episode of After the Paracast, I assigned Chris O'Brien to bring us Ray Stanford, but it's going to take a while longer to get him ready for the show. What's going on?
Well, I think Ray is taking exception to some of the folks on the Paracast forums and how they're using innuendo and what-if type rationale to, I think, suggest that Ray is a charlatan, that he's a government agent, that he's not above board and honest. They're insinuating that his character is unstable and his involvement in the 701 movie project has been curtailed.
Now, let's go to that very quickly here. We know that James Fox, who was the producer of the 701, the movie, spent several days with Ray Stanford and evidently was very impressed. But one of the producers, Tracy Torme, who is a friend of the show, we've had him on several times, and I know him sort of. He had a few words with Ray. Is that how it went on? They
you
didn't
know,
get along?
I made the mistake of suggesting that the two of them talk on the phone because there was some misunderstanding about an aspect of the show that was going to include the La Madeira sighting that happened allegedly the day after, which Ray was convinced was a hoax. Tracy was not. The two of them did not agree to disagree. Ray being the very mercurial, you know, he can be a hothead. I mean, he's very thin-skinned in many ways. And, you know, he's quite the curmudgeon. He pretty much told Tracy that it was all, you know, a bunch of BS and not to waste your time. Tracy took exception to that. And they just, they did not agree to disagree.
And they agreed to not talk to each other.
Well, you know, they both, Ray felt that Tracy wasn't showing him the amount of respect that he's due. Tracy assured me that he was very respectful, allowed Ray to talk, didn't try to cut him off. And then Ray said he did the exact opposite. I tried to arrange a call between the two of them, a three-way, and it just evolved from there. And you know, I've known Tracy for well over 20 years, and I've never seen him get angry. And he really got upset about it. He felt that Ray was calling him a liar, and then Ray said, "Well, you're calling me a liar because you did cut me off." And it's just like, the sandbox got a little cluttered with some emotion there. And unfortunately, you know, Ray's just he feels that he's due, you know, a certain amount of respect. He didn't feel he received it from Tracy. Tracy being the consummate professional, it's hard for me to believe that he didn't afford Ray that respect. I have a hard time believing it. But Ray insists he didn't, and Tracy insists he did, and there we go. you know, they both are kind of entrenched in their particular points of view. And what can you do? It's an amazing thing that I've been able to hang in there with Ray and call him on some things and you know, try to read him the writing on the wall when it comes to his playing with other kids, his social interactions. And, he does have a habit of putting his foot in his mouth in a way that I think is unintentional and innocent. But at the same time, people take umbrance to it. And this was a perfect example of that. And it's not the first time. So it's just amazing to me. I've been able to still maintain a fairly close relationship with a man, even though, you know, I've, you know, really had him pretty angry at me at times. So contrary to what people insinuate on the forums, I don't believe everything that Ray Stanford says. I don't believe any of it. I can just recognize good scientific and analytical work, which is totally being denigrated and denied by the naysayers on the forum simply because they have not been exposed to the width and breadth and depth of the work that he's done, such as Ben Moss, myself, Tony Angiola, and others who have spent the time with Ray. They know that they're looking at genuine, groundbreaking work.
What are the two guys' names again?
Well, Ben Moss is a MUFON investigator in, I think, Maryland or Virginia. I'm not sure. I think Maryland. And is on the show Hangar One. His appearances are one of the few things about the show, I think, that are that are pretty good. Ben is a pretty passionate guy himself, and he's kind of getting into it on the forums. And I'm going to have to kind of try to ratchet things down there. Ray just is very controversial, I think, in many people's minds. And the fact that he won't release his information on somebody else's whim or wish for entertainment value does not sit well with many people. And obviously, a few of our forum posters take that frustration and then blow it into this whole, personal attacks on Ray. And it's going to stop very soon. I've been sitting on the sidelines for the past few days about it. But Ray is the real deal, and I don't care what anybody says. I've said this so many times. I sound like a broken record. And when he's ready to release his information, he will. And you just got to be patient. And you the more you slag the man and the more you denigrate him in his character, the less likely it is that he's going to present it in a way that you're going to be happy with. So if it's just held back for the scientific community, that will be one of the main reasons why. Obviously, if it gets released in any form, it'll eventually make it out into the public. But you're just going to have to wait longer. The more you slag the man, the angrier you make him, and the less likely he is to allow everybody to see this stuff in a quicker, timely manner.
Now, the impression I get here is if he continues to be slagged, flamed, attacked in the Paracast forums.
Yeah, he won't come.
He's not going to really want to come on the show because why do that and then put himself in front of the public and be abused? Now, the key here is that we want freedom in the forums. People are free to express their point of view. People are free to disagree with Ray Stanford.
Yeah.
Now, when you start questioning somebody's motives and you get into this wackiness, well, he must be a government agent, just argue over the facts. Now, I know that we have a lot of posts in our forums about Ray Stanford in the past week or two. Chris is going to go through them. A few people are going to be told, just scale it back. Be respectful.
Yeah.
Criticize him. I know at times here on the Paracast, we have to go after guests, as we did with last week's episode featuring Margie Kay. But I think we did it in a respectful fashion. And that's the whole thing here that has to be emphasized. And by the way, before we get to Micah Hanks, I would mention that Margie Kay did write to me, and she is at least considering now, at long last, the problems with He Who Shall Not Be Named and Billy Meyer. And that's all I'm going to say. Micah Hanks coming up next with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Talk to a sales rep at iWeb.com. Use the promo code TechNightOwl for a special discount.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. SimpliSafe Home Security. SimpliSafe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimpliSafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimpliSafeDefense.com. SimpliSafeDefense.com.
Are you excited about the World Wide Web? Do you want a place where you can share your ideas and express yourself? Well, dial up your modems and stream on down to the GCN Live Community Forum. Lots of radical features await you there.
Wow, Internet guy, I'm so glad I went to the GCN Live Community Forum.
You too can discover why the World Wide Web is awesome. Just go to GCNLive.com/forum. That's GCNLive.com/forum. I'll see you in cyberspace. Friend GCN Live on Diaspora and Cross.tv.
Mike Stenerson from Midas Resources. At no time in history have precious metals been more important, certainly not in my 22 years in the industry. The dollar has lost over 90% of its value in the last 60 years. No fiat currency has ever survived the government printing presses. Ours is not immune. The time is now to be proactive. 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Anything tied to the dollar is at risk. CDs, annuities, 401ks, IRAs, stocks, bonds, you name it. So decide. Do you want to leave a legacy of wealth or debt for your family? The choice is yours. Call me at 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 116. Be proactive, not reactive. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 116.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare, but for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. And I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, which includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Call 1-800-714-6993, 1-800-714-6993, 1-800-714-6993 today.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
It's always a hoot, always informative, always provocative when we bring on Micah Hanks of the Graylian Report. A round of applause. Micah, welcome back.
Guys, always good to be here with you.
There. That's enough. Okay. Actually, I have some great sound effects of applause I used to use on the Tech Night Out Live in the early years. I have not brought it out. because then I have to bring out the booze and the catcalls. And just before we started this episode, we were talking about provocative things, and we just briefly mentioned Donald Trump. And we're doing this a few hours before his debut as a debater on the Fox primary with nine other presidential candidates. But just think now how our presidential campaigns, Micah Hanks, have become equivalent to wrestling matches.
Yeah, they really pretty much have. You've got rankings, of course. Like, for instance, tonight, the Republican debate that I'm going to miss because I'm going to be performing with my band in the next town over, but I'm sure I'll watch it. I'll watch all the debates.
And this is going to be several days ago by the time you hear this.
Right, yeah. So for those listening, yeah, exactly. But you're right. There are tiers. For instance, those who didn't make it as finalists to the primary debate are going to have kind of like a loser's bracket that occurs earlier in the afternoon. And then, you know, we've got people like, as you'd mentioned prior to air, Donald Trump, who's very enigmatic. Since it's the Paracast, I think he almost qualifies in and of himself as being something of an enigma because, first of all, nobody seems to really know what to make of him. He's obviously loud. He's outspoken. He's been called on the carpet somewhat for being a flip-flopper, but nonetheless somebody who is managing to surge in the polls. I'm undecided on Trump. I find him both interesting and also a little disconcerting. I think a lot of us do. And that's not, you know, that's not an admonishment or an endorsement. It's just stating the facts. This is a very unusual election that's shaping up even so early on.
So many of these bodies are there. And I was calculating before we go into any further discussion. For a two-hour show, 10 guests, 120 minutes. That means minus commercials and other announcements, maybe 10 minutes per candidate. So that's all they have to present their point of view and explain why they should be elected president of the United States. 10 minutes. Now, Donald Trump is an expert at doing that because he's a consummate TV performer. These other people may be in every way superior in terms of ability, knowledge, point of view, whatever. It's not going to matter. It's all about the show. But there you go. It's a reality show nation right now. And the same thing for us is true for coverage of UFOs or anything. So we argue about these TV shows that tend to be less than factual, designed to be more entertaining. And that's what news is nowadays. It's just the show.
Oh, absolutely. Gene, I don't know if you saw earlier today on social media... Either you're psychic or you saw what I put up because I was ranting.
Actually,
about
I'm psycho, but that's different.
Yeah, right. No, well, you and I are usually a very like mind anyway, so it, you know, maybe it doesn't have to be either of the three. But I'm
seven times older than he is, so it's kind of difficult.
Well, in Earth years at least, right, space brother?
That does not compute.
Yeah, I was
actually I come from France.
There you go. Oh, you're a conehead now. I thought that was a Sasquatch. Aren't we referring to the sagittal crest? But anyway, who knows?
Well, you know, they're actually doing conehead commercials, the original cast, for, I don't know, one of the insurance companies.
Really? I'm not surprised.
Yeah. The other thing is about Dan Aykroyd is now he weighs about four times as much as he did then.
Yeah. Well, I just wonder who the first of the Republican wannabes are going to use Trump's line from The Apprentice on him that he's fired.
Oh, yeah.
There's probably odds in Vegas on that.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, Chris, there should be a drinking game designed around that just to see how many times that comes up in relation to this debate or anything that follows thereafter.
Well, they're learning how the UFO field behaves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, what's interesting, guys, is back, was it, I guess, the 2008 election. I mean, there was a lot of discussion of UFOs in relation to, I guess it was more the Democratic debates, because we had Dennis Kucinich, who had claimed, I think, on the day of the birth of, oh gosh, was it Shirley MacLaine? He had been there, and he steps out to, wasn't her birth, by the way. I think it was it one of her children or one of his? I don't recall, but he stepped out onto a balcony and claimed he saw one of these, you know, classic triangle-shaped UFOs, kind of like a TR-3. Then there was, oh gosh, what was the governor of New Mexico? You remember his name?
Richardson.
Yeah, and talking about how we needed full disclosure on what may or may not have happened at Roswell and whatnot. We had Barack Obama respond famously to the question where he said, look, I don't know if we have intelligent life out there, but I know that there is intelligent life on Earth. And I remember when he said that thinking, well, that's debatable too. Let's just be fair. Whether or not there's intelligent life on Earth, that might be debatable too.
Well, if it is, it's pretty few and far between, I think, in relationship to well, never mind. I don't want to go there.
No, but how can we actually get anywhere in learning anything about UFOs if it's all for the show.
Is that a reference by chance to any television programs that are currently running on the various networks?
How about all of them?
Yeah. And I, you know, I've got friends, you guys do too, who appear on those programs. I generally don't. And I've actually, I'm not exaggerating here. I think Chris knows too, because he and I've talked at length about this.
Right.
You know, I've probably turned down more interviews on TV shows than I have been accepted to be on interviews on television shows, which are few and far between. And I think that there are two reasons why. Because A, I don't like the presentation on the shows, or when the producers contact me, they reject me because of the views that I express during the pre-taping call.
Right.
And I know many of us, too, who have actually gone on shows, and then they don't like the way that they've been presented. I won't name names, but I got a good friend who was asked specifically to put on a coat and to, I guess, to put it nicely, clean up his appearance before he could make an appearance on one of the popular television programs dealing with this subject. And he told him, no, I'm not going to do that, because if you think that that brings any more credibility to the program, have all your experts sitting there wearing coats and... Yeah. Some of your listeners can probably...
I can just guess who that particular person is.
Yes. I'll just say this gentleman has a very nonconformist attitude about things, and his manner of dress bespeaks that, which is wonderful. That's what we love.
Yeah, that's what makes him a character.
And, yeah, and to say that, no, I'm not going to put on that coat, I think it provides some great commentary about where these shows are going. We don't care if we're credible or not, as long as we look like we're educated, yeah, and the opinions that we express are coming from a more academic perspective, whether or not that's really the case.
Well, we have one particular TV news network where the female anchors must always wear very short skirts. If they wear pantsuits, they'll be thrown off the air, or very close to it. They'll get a nasty memo from the head of that network. I will not mention which one that is. Now, another area where, of course, you see a lot of wackiness or a lot of outrageousness is a forum. Like, we have forum.theparacast.com, the Paracast forums. I think we're one of the best forums for paranormal discussions online. But still, you have people get in there, and they posture, and they pontificate, and they play games, role-playing games, and they try to have fun or something, sometimes at the expense of other people, and sometimes it doesn't get to be very pleasant. And we were talking about this, Chris and I, before you came on, in relation to somebody we both know, someone Chris knows very well, a UFO paranormal researcher.
Well, a historic figure, Ray Stanford.
Sure. Somebody who's been in the field for many, many years. He goes back to the 50s and was obviously involved in the investigation of the Sicario, New Mexico case. And they're really giving him with both barrels. Yeah. We'll get into that and how these things manifest themselves, and also whether you, Micah Hanks, have had encounters with Ray Stanford in our next segment. With Gene and Chris, you're
got
in
the Paracast.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
By now you know that wireless technology like cell phones do in fact pose dangers to the health and privacy of everyone. Lockheed Pocket's wide range of products are unmatched in providing the protection you deserve. No scare tactics, just common sense. LockheedPocket.com offers quality American-made options to alleviate and eliminate these invisible dangers. Learn more at LockheedPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. LockheedPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Did you know some countries are now banning GMO foods? It's true. That's why for quality storable foods, you need ready-made resources. For over 19 years, we've become the name you can trust for thousands of products, like Numana Healthy Food Storage. All Numana storable foods are non-GMO, non-soy, and gluten-free available. Call 800-627-3809 or click readymaderesources.com. Ready-made resources. We don't just sell the products, we live it.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional and installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels, too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Serious investors and traders want to make an 81% return in 60 seconds? We can show you how using our free tool. Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars in profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple, my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Best part, it's 100% free. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
Hi, Peter Picaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com. ParanormalDate.com. And use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hi, this is Nick Pope. You're listening to the Paracast.
He does it very well. We're still working, by the way, on that scheme where we'll have listeners do the Paracast and we'll include it as part of the show stingers. We'll figure that out maybe in the next week or two.
Yeah, I'm wearing it thin.
Well, I know that. I didn't want to say. I did it once, by the way, and I got good marks for it. I will probably never do it again because all I wanted to do was bring out my inner Lamont Cranston and the shadow in doing it. Micah Hanks is joining us, and we're talking here about a lot of the posturing and flame-throwing and arguments in UFOs, and like we have this ongoing discussion right now regarding the work of Ray Stanford. Now, before we go on, our listeners know he can be a pretty crusty guy, and the first time he was on the show in 2009 with Chris, by the way, it was a question whether he or a former co-host would hang up first, and the former co-host did it first. He hung up about 10 minutes before the show ended. So, Micah, have you had any encounters with Ray Stanford?
Believe it or not, I haven't. I have never had any encounters with Ray Stanford. I've heard him numerous times on this program, of course, which I always like to point out to people. I very seldom have time to listen to other podcasts, and when I do, this is one of the ones that I try to make time for. But I've never encountered him beyond what I've heard on this program, and, of course, the literature, his research and involvement, of course, with the Socorro thing.
Well, he had his first UFO event occur in the mid-50s, which he filmed along with a friend who also filmed it. And it was listed for a long time in Blue Book as an unknown, and then they switched it as filming of Venus during the day, which they had, but that was the first part of the film. The second part of the film is the UFO that shows up and hovers in the clouds that was shown on In Search Of and other shows back in the 70s. But, you know, I've always maintained that there's one person in the field that's actually scientifically pulling the field forward currently, and that's Ray Stanford. And combine that with the fact that he's, you know, a real historic figure in the field, knew everybody. One of the forum posts slagging him says that he was a member of the Adamski cult. for instance. And Ray knew Adamski very well. He would go out there and visit him because he was trying to figure out how he was hoaxing his photographs. And he finally got Adamski to fess up and show him and his brother Rex how he was actually faking the films and photographs. And, well, not the films, but the photographs. Ray thinks that Adamski did early on have a one or two legitimate sightings, and that jazzed him to a point where he thought that he could capitalize on that, and then subsequently his whole contactee career developed.
To go back quickly to Adamski, his sightings, I think, happened in the 1940s, late 40s.
Yeah.
And
yep,
that's where he started lecturing and everything. And it's one of those things here, and this is a phenomenon maybe Michael wants to talk about, which is maybe somebody has a real experience early on. And we can assume that of some of these people, maybe not of others. And then they get the public acclaim. And people expect that they know something. Oh, my God, you saw one of those things. Tell us more. And they love that because maybe they have feelings of inferiority. They're not anybody who's achieved anything important in their lives, or they don't think they have. And suddenly they're famous. And they think, you know what, maybe if I had another sighting, that sighting or experience, whatever it is, would enable me to continue doing the lectures. And maybe if I had a sighting and it's not good enough, next time I meet E.T. in the California desert. And I wonder how often that's happened. I wonder how many of these more outrageous contact claims began with something real. And then, unfortunately, human nature took over and they tried to extend the joy. Micah?
I certainly think that that's the case. Maybe more often than not, as it relates not only to UFO sightings, but also especially to those who claim to be, abductees. And when I say claim to be, I hate to have to give disclaimers, but I want to be very clear that I'm not trying to cast doubt on those because, you know, I've sat and had dinner with Travis Walton, and I find him to be a really nice guy. I've met a lot of people who have said that they've had these experiences. I do think, frankly, that the way that people who present the material thereafter, following the claims of the individuals, that I think it's the retelling of these events and in a way such that is intended, intended per se, but they tend to nonetheless fall within the kind of the constraints of the memes and the culture surrounding ufology. What ends up happening is that the stories, as they're retold over the years, begin to pick up little tidbits, elements of a broader narrative that has kind of emerged, which may or may not be entirely factual or accurate. For this very reason, in part, I think, of course, in addition to trying to make the film scary, Fire in the Sky, for instance, became a horror film that really played off of a lot of the more horrific elements of alien abduction and things and the like, which Travis Walton, when he gives his presentations on that subject, tries to differentiate. He says, this is what happened in the film, but this is what really happened to me. This film was completely different from my experience. Now, looking back at the earlier reports, that constitute early, the golden age maybe of UFOs, you also have people who didn't necessarily claim to be contactees or abductees or anything of that nature who nonetheless described what they experienced a little differently as time went on. And I think that there's a very clear reason why this happens. Kenneth Arnold described these swept-winged aircraft. With time and the adopting of the term flying saucer by the media, he began to describe what he had seen as being saucers as well, and maintained that at least one of them he believed was a swept-wing craft, as he had initially said they all appeared to be. That doesn't, to me, cast doubt on what he saw, and many of the modern skeptical debunkers will tend to take that attitude that, well, if we can find anything that seems to not mesh well with the rest of the story or any inconsistencies, we can throw the entire thing out. I've even seen people try to do this with the Cash Landrum case in recent years, which I think is tantamount to character assassination of the witnesses. And Kirk Collins and I have talked about it. You guys have talked with him just as well. What we need to see, rather than, okay, this didn't mesh well, so it's all bunk, is maybe psychologically memories change over time. And in fact, looking into this myself, I found that there are studies that seem to indicate just that people after the fact will tend to update their memories. And it is possible, although honestly, to do so. It is possible, I believe, to update memories, and hence I think these narratives change from time to time. And then finally, there are some people, I think, who maybe even have a genuine experience, and rather than updating memories or anything, they do resort to fabrication so that they can continue the attention and the kind of role that they find themselves playing in the culture surrounding UFOs. So, yeah, I certainly think that all of those factors have kind of rolled into this ball of of what ufology is supposedly. And that's why often I espouse the skepticism that we need. We have to break some of that down and try and look at what people actually say. Don't read the books written by the people who read the books, who read the books that were written, you know, 30 years ago about a subject. Go back and look at what the witnesses in those instances said. And I do think when you look at the old cases, you can find elements that maybe have fallen to the wayside. Not that they were never reported or discussed, but things that people have forgotten because of the kind of snowballing that occurs.
Yeah. Now, it was interesting here. I was reading a blog on a different perspective. That's Kevin Randall's blog. He was talking about one of the Roswell witnesses. And when he interviewed that person, he noticed in that person's home he had a Roswell book and other information about the case, which may have reinforced and or altered his memory. And the thing I always worried about Roswell is that we have an event that occurs in 1947. By the late 70s, it's rediscovered. It doesn't matter how it was rediscovered. We had William Moore and Stanton Friedman running across this case and investigating it. And, of course, they worked with Charles Berlitz to write the book. But here's the problem. We're talking about bringing back memories of events that occurred three decades earlier. And you have to think with cultural phenomenon and things that changed, how could we possibly hope to get at the core event? And then we have these end-of-life confessions, deathbed confessions, of which there were a very few. And then they seem to remember something else. Maybe there was an extraterrestrial type of personage involved. The key here is, how can we hope to take a case so far removed from anyone's memory and realize what really happened? Sure, if you can get some documents and everything, or maybe somebody took notes that day or kept a diary or wrote something down, well, you could say, this is what you remembered then. But if there's no such thing, how can you possibly get at the real event, and how can you possibly reach a conclusion about that event? And notice I am not bringing up the slide gate or the topic that shall not be named about, you know what, that happened in Mexico City. Don't want to get there. Micah Hanks has the Graylian Report and lots more things. I'm Gene. He's Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Independently leading the way for the nation. Compelling talk for every political persuasion. We are GCN.
Conspiracy Journal is your number one source for the hidden world of the weird and strange. We bring you thought-provoking and controversial material for free-thinking individuals who are seeking what is really going on in our world today. Some of this material may adversely affect you. Other pieces are meant to enlighten. Either way, be prepared to be intrigued by such things as the reality of UFOs, ghosts, strange creatures from time and space, hidden conspiracies, time travel, Nikola Tesla, suppressed technology, and a whole lot more. You can find out more by visiting our website at conspiracyjournal.com. There you can sign up for our free weekly newsletter sent directly to your email address. Find out what they don't want you to know.
Healthy, organic, fresh fish, robust, mouth-watering vegetables, all from your home. It's called aquaponics. This brilliant, self-sustaining protein and veggie system is perfect for year-round growing. Know exactly where your food is coming from. AquaponicsSource.com is the one-stop shop for all your needs. Fish, fish food, plumbing, full systems, classes, and more. Learn to build your own system. Go to AquaponicsSource.com for a free guide to aquaponics. That's AquaponicsSource.com.
Would you like to use your IRA funds to buy precious metals and hold them at home? Are you wary of the stock market, paper gold, or faraway depositories? With a checkbook IRA, you may legally take custody of IRA-owned gold and silver. Visit CheckbookIRA.com and learn how IRA owners in all 50 states have already taken control. CheckbookIRA.com. CheckbookIRA.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.
Now, a twice as nice twin kit special offer from Complete H2O Minerals for all GCN listeners. Get a Complete H2O Minerals twin kit with 33 different minerals, vitamins, and amino acids all in a liquid form. Enough for two people for 1 month. Regular price, $89.95. But now Complete H2O Minerals is offering the twin kit for $69.95. And all GCN listeners receive a bonus 16-ounce bottle of Ionic Silver absolutely free with free shipping. A $120 total value. Hurry, limited time offer. Call 803-794-4767 or click CompleteH2OMinerals.com.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Micah, I just went through a long monologue there about nothing in particular, but you get the point here.
Oh, yeah.
It's something that we're investigating cases that went back so far that what's remembered about them is altered by your culture, what they read. How do we get at the core event again?
You bring up some really good points, Gene. And I want to actually, rather than talking about Roswell, illustrate my feelings about that by comparing it with another incident that was really interesting to me and also some of the great names in UFO research who have weighed in on this over the years. Briefly to talk about Roswell, really, I look at some of the researchers over the years who've been involved with that and the way that, in truth, their ideological perspectives toward UFOs have become pretty biased, in my opinion. And thus, I think that we have to be very careful about how certain individuals allow the biases to color their interpretation of what may or may not have happened. And hence, when Kevin Randall talks about Roswell, really, I feel that my own perspectives on that are fairly well aligned with his, and I appreciate Kevin Randall's views on that almost preeminently.
One thing Kevin does is when he investigates something, he even wrote a book about doing this, he goes back to the original source material, not the quote of the quote and the reference to the previous reference. He goes back as far as possible, as much as he can, to the original source to see what really happened or what was really claimed. Go ahead, please.
Yes, and maybe that's what I like about him, really, because now that you mention that, that really kind of mirrors what I was just talking about a moment ago. When I was talking, for instance, about the Cash Landrum thing with Kirk Collins, he had been talking about how doing that same thing, going back and looking at the early statements from the witnesses, it wasn't necessarily a diamond-shaped object that was described. It was a very brightly lit object that the grandson, Colby, had described as possibly being diamond-shaped, which we could consider any number of reasons why the child may have perceived that, especially if he'd been in the car and if the glass was, you know, if it was reflecting against or refracted by the windshield itself. Again, I don't want to start drawing tenuous threads to try and explain some phenomena, but if maybe what we think we know about that case isn't as it actually has been discussed, maybe it's time to rethink things. And you find those kind of things when you do that, when you go all the way back and you look at precisely what the witnesses said more recently after their actual experience, and not, again, the retellings of the retellings of the retellings. Now, that said, there was an interesting circumstance that came about, which you guys will remember, that occurred at the citizens' hearing on UFO disclosure a couple of years ago. I didn't get to go. I believe Chris was there. There was this retired Lieutenant Colonel Richard French that appeared, And there was a bit of contentious argument about his statements because he had talked about, and as was reported by Lee Spiegel in the Huffington Post, he had discussed having witnessed, I think, off the coast of Newfoundland, sometime maybe in the 1950s, a UFO go beneath the water. And he said that a crew of aliens came out and began repairing the craft under the water. There were a number, again, maybe for all you or I know, he really had that experience. But I'm listening to the story and I'm thinking, okay, well, first, where was he positioned, more importantly, that he was able to see down into the water and observe these aliens going about this work with this UFO? This whole story seemed very strange. Some researchers said that it seemed to bear characteristics of another investigation that was entirely removed from what he claimed that he'd been observing. And his story was that not only did he observe this, but on behalf of Blue Book, that he played down the entire incident, and hence why you'd never find records of it. But that it had been reported in the Blue Book papers, the incident at least, and the fact that he'd investigated this. So I went to the Blue Book files, which, as we all know, have been available online for a number of years, although I think that one of the websites, Ancestry.com, perhaps actually somehow claims a copyright thing, and hence our friend John Greenwald had to take him down off of his website. But there are other places where they can be read. Going back and reviewing the files for the year in question, I couldn't find any kind of report that seemed to indicate that there was an investigation by Blue Book that involved Newfoundland. Now, it could have also involved Canadian officials, who knows, but the thing is that I found very little that seemed to substantiate the story that Richard French told. Talking with Alejandro Rojas and some of the folks at Open Minds, they similarly felt that maybe he was misremembering something that, you know, supposedly happened years and years and years prior to, and that maybe his retelling of what he thinks had happened had actually been a culmination of things that he had read in other literature that maybe had influenced his misremembering. Now, to further complicate things, what's really interesting is that nobody seemed to catch this, and I found that in John Keel's book, Mothman Prophecies, there is a Richard French who was the very fellow who goes and speaks with the woman wearing plain clothes, shows up in a Ford Mustang, and is offered a bowl of Jell-O that he tries to drink. And John Keel, of course, famously wrote in the book Mothman Prophecies, this Richard French was not who he said he was, and in fact, he was an imposter like all these others, which, of course, was part of the MIB lore that was being presented at that time. So not to fault Keel, he was convinced that this man was an imposter when, in fact, a Richard French of the Air Force was named and actually, you know, on record as far back as when he authored that book. So I'm pretty sure that this is, you know, someone who was involved with UFO research and had worked with Blue Book. But some of the stories, you have to wonder what exactly we're supposed to make of those. So it could be interpreted two ways, Gene. Was it a complete misremembrance and he was being honest, or was this completely a falsehood that was being presented as further evidence of some sort of a misinformation campaign that's been ongoing? Now, I know that's conspiratorial, and I present that somewhat tongue-in-cheek.
Micah, let me just break in here. Yeah. Richard French contacted me a number of years ago. This would have been about 2006 or 2007. At the time, I think he claimed he lived in Sedona,
yeah.
And he wanted to talk to me, and for some reason, I just felt kind of leery of opening lines of communication with him, and I politely told him I was busy or something. And he was very persistent. He contacted me a number of times. And then I finally met him, I think, in the first UFO International Congress in Scottsdale. Mm-hmm. And he introduced himself. And he I just felt that there was something kind of hinky about the guy. He seemed too eager to become like a figure, become notorious or whatever. He seemed like there was a lust for recognition there. And I just never really gave him the time of day for some reason. I just kind of had a sense about the man that that everything wasn't above board and there was something kind of nefarious or possibly pathological about him, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, I kind of get that also, Chris.
Oh, you know, I think it's, your point is well taken about going back to primary data. When I researched my Stalking the Herd book, that's what I attempted to do, is go back and find the original articles that were referred to in people's databases and get myself as pure and as close to the event. You know, people's recollections, people's statements, especially from investigators and law enforcement. I think that was really important to do. And one of the things that we found, which is very interesting, was the Alexander Hamilton, abducted calf, which was subsequently discovered mutilated, allegedly, and going back to the original press accounts of that. And we, much to our surprise, David Perkins and I found that Jerry Clark had fabricated the whole Liars Club scenario about Hamilton. And in fact, quite an extensive affidavit attesting to his honesty was signed by the 12, you know, pillars of the community and notarized.
Wait a minute. So, Jerry Clark, you say?
Yeah.
Really? I mean,
we found the article where he said that he referred to an article where Alexander Hamilton did a mea culpa and said, well, you know, I was just making it up as part of a liar's club. And quite the opposite we found in that article. The fact he came up with this, an explanation, he says, well, I must have been mistaken. It was actually an ant with a hair, or crawling up a hair that was hanging. He came up with this outlandish, you know, what if scenario to explain what he had seen, which he and his farmhand and his son all agreed was a large aerial craft flying over there, drifting over the farm. And in the, he did a real tongue in cheek kind of disclaimer saying, well, if it wasn't what I said it was, it must have, the only thing it could have been was this. And he described a miniature example of something, something, I forget what it was, but it was a hair hanging down off of something slowly drifting by their faces with an ant crawling, you know, at the end of the hair. and that's not a mea culpa saying that it was all a joke with a liar's club. I'm sorry. You know, I found the actual David Perkins actually found the actual microfilm of the original article as it was stated in the Kansas paper. And, you know, Jerry really wanted to distance the mutilation phenomenon from ufology and back in the mid-70s when it was really hot and heavy all across the Midwest. And I think, he got a little outside of himself by stretching the facts to the extent that he did beyond the breaking point. So I think my point here is that investigators, once they become entrenched with a particular view or a particular conclusion that they are convinced is the right one, whether consciously or unconsciously, they will skew their treatment of the data to conform to their particular agenda, just as the contactees do, just as some of the witnesses who maybe embellish their accounts. For instance, Ray Stanford met and knew most of the, your most popular contactees during the 50s. Adamski, Williamson, Daniel Fry, Truman Bethrum. I can go down the list. George.
Before we go down that list and make it any larger, let's do the break. With
okay.
Gene and Chris and Micah Hanks, you're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Sciatica, lower back pain, hip pain, poor posture. If you suffer from any of these problems, get ready to relax. Introducing an amazing product that's been in the market for over 25 years, the Sacro Wedgie. It was invented by a football coach using a common sense osteopath technique. He created this device to help his athletes by isolating and supporting the sacrum, which is the keystone of our anatomy. This wedge-shaped bone is in the center of our hips, where a lot of pain starts. Simply relax 20 minutes daily on the amazingly simple Sacro Wedgie and let gravity do the work, helping muscles rebalance and start releasing nerves. Sit in the sacral wedgie at the computer or while traveling to help correct posture to finally help relieve those stubborn aches and pains for only $33.95. It's made in the USA, so click the family-owned website at sacrowedgie.com, spelled S-A-C-R-O-W-E-D-G-Y.com, or call 1-800-737-9295. That's 1-800-737-9295. Relax your back pain away with the sacral wedgie.